If you've been around the blind internet community for a wee while, there's no doubt you'll have heard the name JJ Meadow. He's been an active, prolific, and useful participant in the internet community for a wee while now. JJ has just set up a new and exciting website, blindcommunity.com. To talk about his history on the net and that website, he joins us on the line now. A warm welcome to Main Menu. Nice to have you on our final edition before Christmas. And most people who are on blindness-related email lists will have seen your name cropping up for some years now, because you've been in the business of web design and blind gaming and things for a wee while now. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, I've had a couple of various websites, probably the most notable of which would be bestmidi.com, which in its prior days was a MIDI website which had over 1,200 songs that you could download, and we got 50,000 hits a month. It was a very popular venture, but unfortunately got shut down due to some copyright issues. I've also helped distribute some mailing lists and currently run a mailing list for blind sports fans.
Let's talk a bit about those copyright issues if we can, because I know a lot of people contact me and say, well, I'm worried about the whole MP3 thing and people knocking on my door. How did it actually get shut down? What was the process? Did you sort of get phoned up or emailed by people, or what actually happened there?
My previous web host, they quite abruptly sent me a letter that said, we received a complaint about the copyright issues on your website. They terminated my account without notice. I lost everything. I still have the archive, but the main problem that I ran into was I was not able to credit the MIDI files with the person who arranged them. In 90% of the cases, I could not do that, and it would take much more time than what it was worth to go through them all and place that credit. But really, it did not have too much to do with the original artists of the songs. It had more to do with the MIDI files coming from professional MIDI producers that were being traded around the Internet illegally.
That's a shame, because there's nothing better than hearing a really well-crafted MIDI file, is there? You know, there's real artistry that goes into that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I've found so many quality files. I'm impressed all the time I find new ones.
And you have also been involved in blind gaming quite extensively over the years.
I've helped to... I was the original distributor of the Odyssey Games magazine, which is, as you know, quite popular. And also now we're running a file section on the website for accessible games.
Did you kind of feel a bit deflated when the MIDI site went down? Did it put you off for a wee while?
Yeah, it took me a long time to recover. First of all, I couldn't even decide whether or not it was worth going through with the website and trying to bring it back up. So I ended up paying for this domain, this nice web host package, for about a year with basically just a nice email account with 500 meg of storage. But now I'm getting back into it again, now that I'm seeing that it's really not that hard to get a nice quality website going.
And really, that's what we're here to talk about, because as I said to you just before we started recording this interview, it takes a lot these days for me to be wowed by a website, because I see so many of them. This is probably one of the most exciting websites to arrive in the blind community this year, in my opinion. Can you tell us a little bit about, first of all, what it does, and perhaps a little bit of the history behind it, how you got into this?
I've been doing these blindness-related websites. I've been getting into a little bit. I had a website for our goalball club, but now I've had a few ideas that have come along, one of which is we have all these voice chat sites. We have radio stations around the Internet. You can run around, and what this is, I was doing too, I'm sure along with many other people, is going to every site and looking at their schedule or getting their schedule via email and trying to figure out, you know, if it's 8 o'clock, what do I want to listen to, what chat do I want to participate in? You'd have to go to half dozen websites to try to figure this all out. So I was, basically, I'm looking for a way to simplify that, and all the features on my website are ways to simplify other websites, or I'm trying to offer unique features that are not going to necessarily be on another website, instead of just offering, say, like another links list or another message board.
So what can people find when they go to blindcommunity.com? Can we talk first about the actual calendar of events that you have and how that's structured?
Sure. What it does, it's a database that's set up, you can search through over, currently there's over 400 different events that occur every week. This includes ACB radio, mainstream and interactive programs. It includes voice chats that are specifically tailored or designed for the blind. There's radio reading services out there that provide, you could listen to all sorts of magazines and newspapers and local content from a few of them around the country. And what you can do, you can either browse by date, you could browse for instance, just voice chat services, or you can do a keyword search and see when your favorite event or a type of event that you're looking for is coming up.
I'm recording this interview with you on the 18th my time, and I looked up the 18th, which of course gives me, I think, the events in US time, but nevertheless I found some things such as the fact that Jeff's Jamboree is going to be on ACB Radio Interactive and a whole lot of different things. Also things I had no idea existed that are quite interesting. How can you tell us, for those of us who are technically interested in this, how on earth are you doing it? It must be quite a lot of technical stuff going on behind the scenes.
Technically speaking, we're using what's called the common gateway interface, which is a scripting language for the web, and we have a flat file database, which basically on each line is listed one event with all the information that pertains to it, and I have a script that I've downloaded and installed and configured that is tailored to search through that database and display the pertinent information, which allows me to do all sorts of searches and basically any sort of modification I'd like to do to the database.
So it's up to you to maintain this. Do you think you're going to be able to do that? And I often ask webmasters this because you see a lot of sites starting with a hiss and a roar and they look fantastic, and then you find that the pressure of keeping them current really takes its toll. So how do you think you'll be in 6 months' time with the site?
I consider that a lot because I'm in college, and once January comes around, I'm not going to have a lot of time to maintain things. Luckily, 95% of the schedule up there is a weekly schedule, and it doesn't change very much from week to week. I might have to change a couple programs. So what I have to do, for instance, like once a day, I just go in there tonight, replace every event that starts on the 19th of December, on Tuesday, for instance, with the 26th of December, and we'll just take every event and bump it down to next week, presuming it hasn't changed. I might have to go in and change a couple events, but other than that, it's pretty simple.
How does the provider of these events, or perhaps the provider of events that you haven't yet put into the database that you've missed out on, how do they keep in touch with you and perhaps get their material added or amended in your database?
We have a feedback link right on the top of the page, and that will bring up a form that you can arrange with me to get your entire schedule listed, or you can perhaps tell me about a specific event that I've missed or I've put down there incorrectly if I put the wrong information, or if you'd like to add a description to your event that might not have one. That's about the way you could do that. I can also set it up for those who have a lot of events and they would rather see their events updated right away. I can set up an account where you could go in and add, modify, and delete only your own events, and it would be updated in real time to the schedule.
That is really very excellent. What a cool concept. Now, you also have the top 10 blindness sites, or is it just the best blindness sites on the web?
It's the top, I guess there's 22 listed right now as of the interview, and they're not going to keep expanding that list. The idea is to see which is the most popular blindness site. It's compiled by both the number of votes that you receive from the site and your ratings from 1 to 10.
All right. Tell me a bit more about that. I suppose there are two aspects to this. Is it first the role of the webmaster to submit their site, and then how does the voting procedure work?
You go to the website, and you go to the submit. You fill out a very simple form, and you're then presented with some code that you put on your website. You'll also be emailed this code. And once you place the code on your website, you and your users can vote once it's there. You just put it on any page on your site. Very simple to do. It happens automatically.
All right. So is this a kind of an updated version or an alternative to the Blind Ring that has been going for quite some years now?
It's a little different concept because the Blind Ring is It's similar in the sense that both are tools for you to promote your website, and they also are tools to collaborate a list of blindness websites. But we aren't competing with them. In fact, you'll notice it on that page. We are actually, the page is part of the Blind Ring because they're just alternate ways of promoting your website. The Blind Ring puts all sites on an equal footing and just tries to get everybody more promotion.
I noticed that on the page that I've looked at, it talks about please only vote once a day. Do you have some safeguard? For example, does the technology look at the IP address that somebody's voting from and say, oh, you've already voted?
Unfortunately, currently I do not have that. I am currently checking out ways to enforce that. It's not been a major problem yet. There's a lot of trust that goes on in that, and I'm looking for a way to fix that if it becomes a major problem.
I see that number one on the list at the time that we are recording this is forthepeople.com. How often does that get updated?
The list is updated up to once an hour, depending on if there were any votes received in the previous hour. And it's an automatic process that the script does. As soon as you submit your vote, it will check to see if the list has been updated less more than an hour ago, and if it needs to be updated, it will do it.
And are things changing so rapidly that that the number one site can change from hour to hour?
It could happen that way. It hasn't yet, but I am anticipating as more sites get in, that could happen. I'm also going to, if there happens to be a number one site that ends up jumping out way out in front, I'm thinking about possibly retiring that site, at least temporarily, to let other sites compete and then put them in like a Hall of Fame section.
Yeah, what a cool concept. You also have some information on goalball on your blindcommunity.com site. This is a sport that's actually reasonably big here in New Zealand, and I had no idea that it was played in the U.S., as well. Can you tell us a bit about that, about goalball?
Yeah, goalball is a 3-on-3 competition sport for the blind. We have you have a ball with a bell in it, and the object is to throw it like a bowling ball while blindfolded. You'd have to throw it past three people on the opposing end of the court and try to get it past them. But you're not really rolling the ball down the court. The stronger players, at least in the U.S., throw it 30, 40 miles an hour, so you got to listen for that ball. Dive, and it will hit you somewhere, and hopefully you stop it.
So, it's a fairly physical sport.
It's a very high-paced sport. There isn't going to be a lot of injuries in the sport, but there's a lot of... you do need some physical ability and strength to compete, yes.
Yeah, jolly good. Might do me the world of good after Christmas lunch. what else have you got on that side? Have I missed anything?
The only other thing that we've put up there, I would say we kind of figuratively, it's myself right now, but we have the what's called the File Center, which for now has all the issues of the Odyssey Games magazine, as well as probably about 50 or 60 speech accessible games that probably are not going to be found on too many other websites, because I'm digging around through a lot of old CDs of shareware and freeware from like 10, 12 years ago, and finding these DOS games that work perfectly well with speech and that many people can still enjoy. And I've been putting these up on the website with descriptions and the link to download them.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Games are a great way to encourage people who are new to computing to learn without actually realizing that they are learning. But DOS, of course, is a completely unknown animal to a lot of these new computer users these days.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm going to be putting up a tutorial and some help sections pretty soon on how to get into DOS from Windows with JAWS and Window Eyes and Window Bridge and the various screen readers that are out there.
There's some great old DOS games out there. Of course, you've got the Infocom ones, which I don't think are in the public domain even now, but I think one of my favorite DOS games was the old Parker Brothers... no, it wasn't Parker Brothers. It was a guy, Don Philip Gibson was his name, and he wrote this version of Monopoly. And he was so good, this guy, and I don't know whether you remember this game, but he actually wrote a screen reader-specific or friendly version of it where you could listen to information about who owned what property on the board, which was the one part of the game that was a little bit difficult to use, and that is a fantastic implementation of Binopoly.
Actually, I would be interested to see that, because that was probably way back in my Apple II days, back when I was third or fourth grade. So I probably haven't seen that. We have two different versions of Monopoly that work up there, plus a demo of the Monopoly from PCS Computing, PCS Games.
Mm. That's superb, too. That's a really nice and good sounds in that game. The sounds in the Don Philip Gibson version come over the keyboard speaker, so they're a bit sort of silly, really. But, I'm talking 12, 13 years ago, but it's a really good game. And actually, I think you can still find it on the NFBNet file archive. Dave Andrews has all sorts of stuff hidden away there, but it's a great game. So basically, if people are going to have some time over the holidays to chill out and do nothing constructive, which is a good thing to do at this time of year, then they can download a whole lot of games from your site.
Oh, definitely. And for now, if you are having problems, you can just email me, and I'm definitely willing to help you out in getting the games working for you.
Now, plans for the future. Have you any ideas at this stage as to where this site is heading? Are you looking at adding anything in addition to what you've already put up there in quite a short time? Because this site's only, less than a week old now.
Well, the blindcommunity.com domain is less than a week old, and the events calendar is. The countdown started about 3 months ago, and the file center has been around for about a month. As far as the GoBall page actually has been around for 3 or 4 years. As far as the future, I am not totally sure. I am sure there is going to be some expansion, possibly some e-commerce, possibly any other ideas for some services that could help the blind community. That's what it's all about. So I'm also definitely open for any ideas. A lot of things are easier to implement than you might think, considering all the scripts that are out there and all the easy ways to put in things on a website. So if people have ideas, I'd be definitely open for them.
Yeah, e-commerce, that's an interesting thing. So you are looking perhaps at finding a way to at least get a little bit of recompense for the work that you're putting into the site?
Yeah, I'm not ruling out that opportunity.
Anyway.
I don't have any specific plans yet, but
why not? Why not indeed? Now, if people want to contact you, obviously it's www.blindcommunity.com, which is all joined together. But what about email? Can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, you could put anything before the at blindcommunity.com, for instance, jj@blindcommunity.com, and it will get to me. And they can contact me that way. I'll reply usually within a day.
Could we offer a prize for the person who puts the most inventive address before the @blindcommunity.com?
If I had a prize, I would do it. For now, yeah.
Well,
we could do that, sure. Send in your creative email addresses, whatever, @blindcommunity.com.
Well, it's a real pleasure to talk to you because I've lost count of the number of email messages and things I've seen from you on Blind Assists over the years, so you're a bit of a personality. And congratulations for setting up this site, and I hope we can keep in touch on it. That's JJ Meadow of blindcommunity.com. And if you would like to vote for ACB Radio in the Blind Sites competition, we hope that you will give it 10 out of 10 and that you will vote for us on a daily basis. You can now visit www.acbradio.org, and right at the top of the homepage, you'll find a combo box. If you're using JAWS or Window Eyes, you tab to that and press Enter to turn Forms Mode or MSAA Mode on. You leave it at 10 out of 10, we hope. You tab to the Vote Now button and you press Enter, and you will have cast a vote for ACB Radio as the best blindness site. We hope that you'll continue to do that often, and thanks to JJ for setting up this excellent site.